So I'm turning to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 5, and I begin with verse 12. So Luke's Gospel, chapter 5, and verse 12. And it came to pass, when he was in a certain city, behold, a man full of leprosy, who seeing Jesus, fell on his face, and besought him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And we're thinking this morning briefly about how to approach the Lord. And this is such a basic education that everybody must know. How do we approach the Lord so that we will be sure that we'll be heard and we'll be blessed? Now, this has to do with every kind of approach to the Lord, but especially if I want to come to Him seeking for mercy and forgiveness of sins, pardon in the Lord Jesus Christ. This is so basic that everybody should know. In fact, we desire that by the time a young person turns into 9, 10 or so, even lower than that, will be so familiar of how we approach the living God, because this is so essential in knowing the blessing of the Lord. Now, this miracle that the Lord wrought on this man, we are told in the Gospel of Matthew that the Lord did that after the Sermon on the Mount. So after the Sermon on the Mount, there were so many people following the Lord, and the Lord did this miracle. The exact city, we don't know. We are told it happened in a certain city, but we do not know where that city is. Now, I am sure we only have to remind ourselves that all the miracles in Scripture we say are gracious. If we say they are gracious, this is what we mean. We mean that all the miracles in the Scriptures were real miracles. If you were there, you would have seen it without any questions at all. You would have seen the Lord manifest His power in such a wonderful manner. But at the same time, they were intended to be lessons also. And we learn this from how the prophets in the Old Testament, in a few times, a number of times I should say, in the Gospel of John, the various maladies, the various sicknesses are connected to spiritual conditions in the Gospel of John and in the prophets, especially the prophet Isaiah and the Hosea and Jeremiah, these ones. And so we know that the miracles are gracious because as you read them, you see the Savior's mighty power in dealing with human need, dealing with illnesses that would have been otherwise incurable and things like this. But at the same time, you are also reading how the Lord deals with souls, how He deals with us, and how we respond to Him and things like this. And so this is how we want to apply and appreciate this miracle this morning about this man, this leper, whom the Lord will heal. So please, just look at the verse there again. Verse 12, and it came to pass when he was in a certain city, behold, a man full of leprosy, who seeing Jesus fell on his face and besought him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. The problem of leprosy. It was a big problem in the Old Testament times, you know, that in those days there was no cure. If you were a leper, you knew you would die eventually. There was no medicine for that. There were no doctors that tried to treat it because it was hopeless. And so if somebody was a leper, he was left in a condition in an isolated place so that he dies on his own, so that he doesn't transfer the illness to others. Leprosy always made the person be in a state where he is wasting away. The fingers and those, we call them the nerve ends, begin to waste away. The person literally begins to rot away so that he loses the senses. He cannot smell properly. He cannot touch things. You know that if somebody had a leprosy in the advanced stages, he can put his hand into a fire and he will not feel a thing because everything has become dead and lifeless before the person dies. This is quite miserable, to be a leper in those days, knowing there was no cure at all. Eventually, you would die. Slow, painful death will be your portion in this case. And it is a very exact picture of sin. This is exactly what sin is, dear friends. The Bible is so clear about that. Sin has similar effect on us. What a generation that is prone to thinking that sin is a small thing. We are playing down on sin. This is one of the reasons why God gives us some of the most powerful pictures, graphics in Scripture about what sin is. So that just in case the idea of sinning seems so small to you, you can just think of the pictures given so that it may move us afresh. Sin is like leprosy because it destroys your senses. It ruins the conscience. You progressively become a person whose conscience doesn't function. It may start with the bigger sins. When I commit the big sins, I may feel disturbed within. I may even feel sick for doing that. But with time, you'll get over that. If you continue committing the sin, you'll get over that. And then eventually you go on and then you lose your senses. Well, you can tell the most terrible lie and you wouldn't care what you've done or what you said. And so, sin is a terrible destroyer of our senses. We lose our sense of God. We ignore Him. We behave as if He isn't there. We may say with our lips that He is there and things like this, but our behavior will say something else, as if we have no account to give to Him, and so we live for ourselves. Sin obviously deforms us like leprosy does. Sin deforms us. Well, this may be, it's always, I always remember, of course, this is obvious to every one of you. You may have a young person, now lovely, probably 2-3 years, a lovely boy, a lovely girl. You admire the little one, and he or she is dear to you. Now, if that little one doesn't become converted early, and he goes on to later life, and in his teenage begins to fall into sins, and he becomes hopeless liar and things like that. And obviously, you will still love them, love that child, and want to do something to rescue and to bring that child to the Lord. But there's something you see is gone from that child. Some beauty is gone. The person, look at his anger, uncontrollable anger perhaps. Look at how selfish that child has become. He wants everything for himself perhaps. He's become a hopeless liar. You can't believe a word he or she says. He becomes a terrible person. So that child stands before you and perhaps is telling you something in school, something they say they should bring us to. And you can't believe a thing because that child is now spoilt. Lies is overtaking that child. And so some beauty has gone out of it. He's become deformed. You cannot trust him. Sin does the same thing, my dear friend. Can't you see how sin really looks like leprosy in every sense? And then it will kill us eventually. Every sin kills. We have a tendency to only think of the so-called big sins. You know, that's what society does. These are big sins. If you commit them, then you are such a wicked person. Obviously, there are sins that hurt people very quickly than others, but before Almighty God, there are no small sins and big sins, because all of them can destroy the person in the same way. And so it is, friends. Sin is at least like that. I don't know whether you have any kind of a higher view of sin and of your personal sins, of your own heart, and the sins you see in your own heart, in your own life, in the things you say, in your reaction to things, in your thoughts, and in the kind of things you desire. Do you see the sins in them? And are you alarmed? Are you moved? Are you surprised? Are you sometimes shocked to say, is that I? Am I doing this? Am I like this? Am I this liar? Can I lie to this extent? Can I really lie to my parents? Oh, I've loved them from childhood up to now. Can I now lie to them without any fear? Can I now yield to this kind of shameful behavior? Something like that. Oh, dear friends, sin is not terrible. A friend, the encouraging thing is always that there is help. There is help with the Lord. And so look at this man's approach. That's what brings us the help, friends. How may we have the blessing of the Lord? How may we be able to find relief from the hands of the Lord, because He only can deal kindly with us. And so, verse 12. And it came to pass, when he was in a certain city, behold. The first thing to notice is that word there, behold. It's an attention word, to draw our attention. Behold. Why behold? Behold, a man full of leprosy. Full of leprosy, because this man's leprosy is in the extreme case. No, you can have leprosy in only one part of your body, say your hand or stomach or something like that, and yet the other parts wouldn't be affected. It was spread eventually. They say, like sin, you start with supposedly one small sin, before you realize it spreads to other parts of your life. But this is a full-blown leprosy. This man's whole being is covered in leprosy. And so scripture says, behold this man. This man is coming into a crowd, a thing you should never do. This man is risking it. People can kill this man. They can stone him. That was the rule in those days. If a leper came into the public place and mixed himself with the people, he should be stoned. Unless when he was coming, he had a handkerchief at the lower part of his face and he shouted, unclean, 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 so that people can go away from him. If he didn't do that, people would stone him. We don't hear this man doing this. He was merely coming into the people. This is part of the reason why the Bible says, behold, because this is a surprise that this man can come into the crowd like this. And also, don't you see, it shows such a strong desire. This man really wants to be healed. And so he really doesn't care whether the people will stone him or not. He was coming. Whatever happens should happen. But that's the first thing, coming to the Lord. Do you want the Lord to save you? Do you want the Lord to lift you up out of the bondage of sin so that you become His, a child of God, having real communion with God? Not merely sitting in churches and attending every meeting, not just that. Not merely being a Bible reader and then stopping one or two sins here and there, but really to be brought into living communion with God and to know what it is to live by faith, trusting in the Lord, depending upon Him, proving many answers to prayer and knowing His help through life. Do you want to become a child of God? Well, you must know how to approach God. The first thing is this. You must come with a sincere and a strong desire. I really want the Lord. I really want to be saved. I really want to be a Christian. And in fact, you even say in your heart, I do not care what would happen to me. I do not care about anything else. All I want is that I want the Lord to save me and to deliver me from this present state that I'm in. Friends, if you do not come to the... If you are... We often put it this way, so we say that if there's any other desire that is far stronger than a desire to know the Lord, then you are not that serious. If the desire for the Lord does not rise above any other desire, then that desire, you say, oh, I desire to be a Christian, is not really that serious. Because it should overtake every other desire. And it must become the number one concern. I want to come to the Lord and I want to be relieved from this condition. I really want to be a Christian and a child of God. And so that's the first thing we notice there. We truly want to long. Oh, friends, I wonder whether you know this. Do you really desire to come to the Lord? Friends, you know, it explains what's the most important thing to you. What's the most valuable thing to you? Salvation cost God, the greatest of all, His own Son. Would you receive that gift lightly? Dear friends, think again. For us to be saved, for God to receive us, the Savior had to come and go to the cross of Calvary and die such a shameful, painful death, and to rise in triumph over sin and over the grave in order to bring us to Himself. You think this is a small thing? Can I illustrate this? Imagine that you have a friend, or maybe your child, or a relative, and you save so much, you have to go without, you have to cut down so many of the things you would have wanted to buy for yourself in order to purchase him something very precious. I'll say on his birthday or some special occasion. And the thing costs you very dearly. In fact, it has cost you perhaps 5, 10, 20 years of savings, and a very, very hard savings. As you've gotten that expensive, you thought that child or that relative really needed this thing. And he bought this thing. Once you got it, you were full of excitement. So you call in the relative and say, "Hey, come, I have a wonderful gift for you." You think when the relative saw it, he would be so moved that he would just never stop smiling or being happy or something like this. And the relative comes into your house. He looks at your expensive gift and he's walking around and using his left finger to turn it up and down as if it's some trivial thing. Would you be offended? What do you mean? You know how much it cost me? Oh, dear friend, this is Calvary. This is the Lord. You think you'll be saved by seeking salvation lightly? Please, it's not true. You will never be brought, you will never be born again unless you come to the Lord desiring that salvation above everything else. I long to be forgiven. I am tired of my life of sin. And I really want to be saved. I really want to be a child of God. And I want to be reconciled to God. No longer a rebel. And no longer somebody who is running away from God. And then I'm sure I'll be blessed. And I'll be heard of the Lord. Now there's something else here. Oh friends, I think I'm missing out on the tree. Mama min kana ka kra wo tree. Mo fa nche mi. Dear can I say. Yeah, because send you to me back, Nyankopo in chain. Now, you see, they did kind of say, Papa, yeah, now, or Yari Kwatai, and now, Niyari and Inti, Nancha and Sese Oba, Nimpa, Domo, and so by it. It be cross, you know, it be to me, Krekuno, just say, or the Bibi Katani, Nimuansa. But the Yente said, San Oye, and Oba, a central Oba, and the Senior Brepa. It's a very day, on Fano Oba. You see, I'm a wabi radi, was a person be radi, they did kind of sab penua, a bro pebia so. It sounds said, sound quite genuine, young copon adimayeno, a bro bebia which me do what Jesus is so. Into wouldn't mean because I may be radi, may be sure some yelling, unfamily born in Chami, now on Danny Macoma, no, may be a Christian. As no crossam, they say, and yet on any wa conodian cassa. A few weeks ago, there was a lady that came to our church back in Cape Coast. And it's not surprising. People start that way. They only need a pastoral help so that they are guided through this. She came and obviously troubled. So after the meeting, she wanted to speak with me and she said that, well, she thought that she's committed so many sins against the Lord. And that it was the reason why she was so unhealthy. She said that she's all kinds of illnesses. She goes to the hospital. The doctor said nothing was wrong with her. And so she knew, she was telling me she knew it was because of those, the lifestyle she was leading. The reason why I'm telling you is this. But as she said that, she added this. You know, Pastor, if I don't get well, and so that I can complete my education and achieve the thing for which my mother sent me to school, my mother will be disappointed that I've done this. And I try to help her. Well, it is good they have respect for your parents and you want to don't want to disappoint them. But if you want to deal with the problem of sin, that is not the matter. Your concern is not your parents yet. The concern is with the Lord. David in Psalm 51, you remember, he has sinned against Bathsheba and Uriah. Yet he says, "Thee only have I sinned against and done this wicked thing before thee." People must realize it is the Lord I've sinned against. If the reason I want to get rid of this sinful life is so that my parents will be pleased with me, please, you will not find God's mercy and grace. It's good that you are concerned about your parents, that you should move above that. It can be the starter. If it doesn't go higher than that, no, dear friends. You won't be able to come to the Lord properly. Because they are mere creatures, they are mere men, human beings. When they receive you, if you stop one or two things and they were happy with you, it doesn't mean God is happy with you. If they receive this, oh, now our daughter, our boy, has become a wonderful boy. It doesn't mean heaven is saying the same thing. It doesn't mean God is saying the same thing. It's better to begin with God. If you begin with God, if your parents truly know the Lord and love the Lord, they will be satisfied. Even if by obeying the Lord, they are not the beneficiaries of that. They will be so happy because you become the Lord's child, and that will be supremely important to them if they themselves know the Lord. And so, my dear friends, it's so important, friends. You may be concerned about parents. If I'm a young person, you may be concerned about relatives, things like this. Oh, but go beyond that. And be more concerned about the Lord. And see yourself standing before Him and your sins open before His eyes. And ask Him to find mercy. Don't trivialize. Don't think this is a small thing. And you are the to sunset. Nyankopon e costino. Adiakesipa. Bibia, you are accosting Nyankopon Satan. Say, O dear, Radiesi Christo. Ebema. Now, yeah, just to name the nation. Oh, yeah, the second thing, the man thing. And they are there. The first verse 12. And it came to pass when he was in a certain place, behold, a man full of leprosy, who seeing Jesus fell on his face. Now, we are told that this man came. Now, why would this man come to the Lord Jesus Christ and fall before him when he knows that the disease is incurable? Why did he come? I ask you, dear friends, can't you see the wonder of that? Permit me, the other one, to remind us of a difficult... Supposing I'm suffering from some very serious, incurable cancer, and you know that this is incurable. I've been told, well, this is a kind of a rare cancer. We've never seen the kind before. It's incurable. And yet you go to an ordinary nurse at the hospital and say that, please, heal me. But I think you expect the nurse to laugh you off or simply say, oh, please, 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 this is not possible, isn't it? Why did this man come when he knew that leprosy was incurable? In fact, what he said later, I'll speak a little about that, shows us what this man is thinking. This man had a high view of the Lord. He was thinking, it doesn't matter that my disease is incurable. This man can cure it. This man. Do you see? I will explain that further. Look at how he said it. I will come back to that, but look at the rest of the verse. Who seeing Jesus fell on his face and besought him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. It is not maybe. If only you are willing to do it, it will be done. Is that not amazing? Though it's incurable, oh, not before this man, not before this wonderful teacher I've met. It could be cured by him. If he is willing, it can be cured. Friends, if you will come to the Lord, you must have at least a noble view of God, a high view of him. You will learn more later when you are converted. But at least some fundamental understanding of God is so important. For example, you must know that God is holy and that God is all powerful and that he rules over all. If you have a low view of him, you can't trust him. Is that obvious? Well, the Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter 11 verse 6 that without faith it is impossible to please him. He that comes to God might believe that he is. In other words, he is the one existing, the self-existent, glorious God. You must come to him as such. Otherwise, you can't trust him. Friend, this is obvious. If I must go and pay my school fees, and the school fees is 5,000 Ghana cedis, maybe more. Some of you are paying far more than 10,000, 20,000 Ghana cedis. And I know a relative who earns 500 Ghana cedis a month. Would you go to him? You wouldn't despise him, but you would just gently say, let me never go to Auntie Essie because I know. I understand her kind heart, but I don't think this is a matter to take to her. I'll be disturbing her to take it there, isn't it? You naturally know. You know her condition. So you wouldn't take problems of 20,000 Ghana cedis to her straight away like that. You will never come to the Lord unless you have some measure of understanding of who he is. If you know that he's a holy God, perfect and pure, then you can't come to God really admiring yourself. You see that you can come properly. You can't come almost saying in your heart, "Oh Lord, I acknowledge the fact that I'm a terrible sinner, I've committed some terrible sins," without saying it with the back of your mind saying, "But you know, I have some good points, because some people have gone very extreme and I've never gone to that extreme, even though I know." See, you would never admire yourself. You go as a helpless sinner, going to Him to find mercy, because you know He is holy. And His holiness means He's so pure and perfect that He must judge every sin. However small people will call it, He will have to judge it. And He's a God of all power, that He can deal with me. He sees my sins. We tell people, if I commit sins again and again and nothing seems to happen, don't think you are clever. Rather, be amazed and say, oh, how patient God is. How patient, and yet He must judge me one day. He must one day say, now it's time for me to visit you with your pride, with your self-confidence. It's time for me to come and show you how these things are so terrible in my sight, you see. And so friends, you must have some nobler view of God. Otherwise, you only say with your lips that you will believe in Him. You won't. You won't believe in Him. Because you wouldn't think He's the one who is able to deal with your case sincerely. And think of Him as the merciful God, the gracious God also, who has sent the Lord Jesus Christ to us to die on the cross of Calvary, in order that you may be moved and say, even though I've committed so many sins, it can be forgiven, it can be washed, I can be changed. Reflect upon His power and say, it doesn't matter. Even though I can feel in myself I don't have the power to stop the sin, yet I have a desire to be delivered from it, so I will go to Him and cry to Him and say, oh Lord, I want to be delivered from the life of sin. Not one or two or three sins, but I sense my sinfulness and I want to be rescued. And You only have the power to rescue me and to bring me to Thyself. You must have some view of Him. Otherwise you wouldn't trust Him. It's not possible to trust Him. They are just meaning to say, yes, they say, they are winning for Nyankopongono. And yet they are when you mean na a what's through the scripture canoe. Won't to me any nindi. It's sunset. Let me man for to say. So young fan say so cut your school fees. No school fees so cut your say maybe to say 20,000 Ghana cedis. Now, oh, auntie, be wa when you say no crown, but some crown, now getting now 500 Ghana cedis. Any day more of a study, you may find comma and TSC, because when you say, okay, my someday, and some initials of it to me, I want me. Won't go cry. Yes, see, say, when the dear wolf and young couple, any mistro kakra, wouldn't me man in chain, so be to me, Shirao. Obey to me about every mobro na odiwaba nchi. Yes, sir. And so we need him to be fine, young couple. To say, what he has to say, young couple, your crown crown. Say, young couple, your crown crown, dear. No, so who no akuma be mu dear. And there, what catch our mustard. And there, mean to me, young couple, in him say, Radi Bumi mobro. Now break crown one, Cassans, me can't change who say, me are cramming your body pee. You mean him some of the boy any day. And so, me yenu, basa say, be more. And when him say, radiant you. Won't you mean, because I'll bring your uncle for your crunkle? And I'll say, with the asword in the ace, man. Some people do that, you know. They think they can hide their sins, they can hide their motives, they can appear nice and hide the other motive. And they realize God sees it, and God realizes it, and that He will deal with them according to their motives. And according to the state of their hearts. If you look at it, so we meet your wife, Jenny and Cassisma, and so many say, Uncle Paul, every morning, and to say, what you have to say, dear, when you say, and send me by Uncle Paul, maybe my communion, a memoir and fresh air ains, mano, it's Sansoni Madinina, you see. And so, for you see, so this man came, was so confident that the Lord could heal him, because he has some measure of understanding of who he was. This is the Lord of glory. I'm amazed at this man, you know, friends. So when I read it again and again, I'm amazed. He has a man with an incurable disease, and yet he walks to the Lord and falls before Him and says, oh Lord, this is a matter of You willing to do it. It's not a matter of whether he can go or not go. If You will to do it, the problem will be solved. This is so amazing, isn't it? And so it is. If you have any measure of understanding who God is, then you can trust Him. then you can truly come to Him and yield your life to Him. Oh, my dear friends, so try, ask the Lord to help you have this understanding of who He is, that you may come sincerely to Him. Another, the third one, is here. So, who seeing Jesus fell on his face and besought Him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, he fell on his face. We say that is an attitude of reverence and respect. Nowadays, there are all kinds of churches, and I must tell you, these days there are even churches that are calling themselves Reformed churches that no longer believe in reverence in the house of the Lord. They think that if they are even bold to use words like that our church is a messy place. This is astonishing, isn't it? Well, you only have to read your Bible to realize that anyone who drew near truly to the Lord, there was a mellowing, melting influence on him or her. Unless he never went to the Lord. Anyone who had any measure of contact with the Lord, your heart would be melted. And you would be so moved to a sense of nothingness. Oh, friend, this is so consistent in Scripture. If somebody comes to the Lord, one of our hymns are, before thy presence sinners fly, or at thy feet they bow. Either they want to run away and say, no, I don't want to go there again. Or they bow. Reverence is God's due. It's not only His due, it is the natural response of anybody who has any true engagement with Him. A number of young persons who were converted have told me that when they were converted, the way they even enter God's house, nobody told them. They themselves said, I cannot be walking in God's house like this. They themselves simply saw it. Even a young man was telling me, please, we grow in understanding, so don't be offended at all. But a young man was telling me that he even thought that if he stood before the Lord and he hasn't tucked in his shirt, he feels it's not respectful. You may have your reason why you leave all your shirt, so please, if you have a good reason, don't mind. But this is the sense we're talking about, you see. And we have often said that this is why we challenge people. If somebody is mindful of the Lord, he will be mindful of his clothing, by all means. He cannot ignore that. He will grow in how much he does, but there will be consciousness that I cannot simply say anything goes. You can't do that. Because the Lord told the people of Israel in Malachi chapter, he said, you know, I am the king, the Lord your king. He was comparing them to the kind of respect they give their governors and what they don't bring to him. He said, I am your king. And so Malachi said that, well, that which you bring me, go and give it to your governors and see whether they will accept it. And you bring it to me, God does comparison. How do I treat my own house? How do I treat my own family? Do I treat the Lord's people this way? Do I treat the Lord's things this way? You see, it comes upon us. Of course, we grow, we grasp the fundamentals, and we will grow in that for sure. But the fundamentals are there. I want to approach the Lord. I want to approach Him. And you want to say, is this worthy? If I'm aware that this is the Lord of glory, the Lord of glorious majesty, and then you yourself realize. You see, you read in Scripture a number of times, isn't it? People are healed of the Lord. And I remember blind Bartimaeus. You remember when the Lord healed him, the Lord never told him to follow him. Huh? He followed and said, go your home and go to your house. And the man's eyes were open, and he himself decided to follow the Lord. You see, there are things simply dawns upon you and realize, I can't do this anymore. I can't do this kind of thing. I am before the Lord. I am dealing with the Lord. I am a child of God now. Conversion is wonderful, my dear friends. It starts with your approach to the Lord. And friends, you must learn those, as well as the Lord infusing the foundations in our hearts. This is what happened to this man. He is coming to the Lord. Remember this high view he has of him?
When he comes, he falls flat on his face to the ground, as if to say, I am nothing at all. You know, worship, both the Hebrew and the Greek word for worship literally means that. Only we don't do that physically, because it would have been mere outward show, outward forms. Worship does not consist in outward forms. It's the state of the heart, my response to God. But the outward language gives you an idea of the kind of mentality with which we come. I come to the worship of God as somebody who's lying on the ground, saying, Lord, I am not coming as a kind of a worthy, wonderful person. I come as only a sinner, needing mercy at thy hand. And so this man comes, he falls flat before the Lord, and he pleads with him. Friends, the same thing. Friends, it's not possible. I've never heard it before. You know, we sometimes say, have you heard some people turn some hymns into dancing tunes so that I surrender all and I need the everyone, I need the every hour. It's sung with some drums behind it. You say that these people are really, you wonder where their heads are. Who asks mercy dancing? Who begs for some important privilege dancing? This is normal. The trouble is, they're not conscious of God. They simply say it. I am approaching Almighty God, and I'm so moved by my sinfulness, and I'm coming to plead for mercy, and I'm dancing. It doesn't happen anywhere. No child does that to a parent. No student does that to his head. It doesn't happen anywhere. Strangely, people say, it must happen in the house of the Lord. It must happen when I'm dealing with the most glorious being in heaven and earth. It's not wise, can't you see? So foolish. Oh, dear friends, the trouble is, if you don't have any noble view of God, you will never know Him. So you are coming, cry to Him, Lord, I'm aware of my sinfulness, but I'm so ignorant of You. I know You are there, I know a few things about You, but I don't really feel them deeply. Help me to feel them, and to be concerned that it is such a God I'm dealing with. And once you are aware of that, you will realize humbling yourself and crying only at His feet is so natural. Because I am small, He is great, I am a sinner, He is holy, I am the beggar, He is the bestower, the benefactor. And so I go to Him in such a humble frame of mind. My dear friends, this is how to approach God. You go to Him very reverently, friends, knowing who He is. I'm sure you know, this is a kind of artificial thing, please forgive me for this, but I have to say, this is an artificial thing that Roman Catholics created in their churches. You know that? This is how they spend money in building cathedrals and making such the very moment you get there, even the very room and the kind of things there subdues you. It was intentional. They call it aesthetic worship. A worship that must come by the kind of beautiful things you are seeing. We said, no, away with that nonsense. Worship must flow from my heart. I must reflect. I must be thinking, not seeing physical things. No, because then I would easily be drawn closer to idolatry. I must be reflected. And so they were accusing, 8 years ago, they were accusing the rest of the churches and saying, you see, your places are not places of worship. It's a light place. Of course, nowadays, even their own churches have become entertainment centers because they wanted to keep their young persons and things like this. But my dear friends, there's something amazing, friends. It's a slogan we say that, you know, some of these people don't know that sometimes even their deportment in the pulpit would tell us that this man doesn't seem to know God. He doesn't seem to know that God is representing. He's full of himself. It's all about himself. And the things he can say, and the things he can do, that's all himself. We say, you can't do that. When you are representing the Lord, you are careful you represent Him alone. And that is the one you focus on alone, my dear friends. And so, dear friends, I just want to draw your attention. You cannot approach Almighty God if you are truly mindful of Him and become careless. Oh, you become so concerned. And of course, if you come to Him and He changes you and blesses you, you will grow in that. And that will so change your whole attitude. It's a beautiful thing. A sense that God is watching me. You know, God puts that in your heart. We call that the seed of God when I become a child of God. A sense of God's eye. He is watching me. He sees what I'm doing. He sees what I'm thinking. I cannot fake it. I cannot pretend it. If I fail, I will cry to Him for mercy rather than fake it, you say, because you're aware of Him, friends. So, this man was aware whom he was coming to. This is the Lord of glory. Because I don't want to. This room is a bit warm, isn't it? So, I don't want to keep you here for too long. But look at this thing that he said. The last thing. Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. What a language. It's difficult to express it to the full. It's so rich. Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. It is this man saying, I cannot demand it from you. I am only a beggar. Lord, I cannot come to you and say, you must by all means do it for me. I don't deserve anything. I'm only a leper. I only need mercy. You are the Lord. Deal with me if you will. Deal kindly with me if you will. This is how we come to the Lord. Oh, friends, pride is a great hindrance. If you have high views of yourself, you will never be converted. You will never know the Lord. You know, I am a wonderful person. I have done such and such a thing. And it's all in my head. I may not say it with my lips. My lips may be saying humble things. But in my head. But the Lord notices it. And He will bless me. He will despise me. I will only end up a hypocrite. Somebody who only pays lip service to religion, Christianity. Your heart will never be touched. Your heart will be the same as ever. The same. Unrenewed, unchanged, you come as somebody resigned to the Lord. Lord, do with me as you will. I don't deserve anything. What is grace? Grace says, I don't deserve anything, Lord. Bestow upon me only according to thy kind dealings with sinners, merciful dealings with sinners, and bless me for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake. Because I have nothing. Please, I want to earnestly encourage you that. And we, in order to help people, we often tell them, if one of our hymn says, now go to the Lord, this part is not exactly what the hymn says, but this part says, this. He says, that, let no other trust in truth. You know why? I want to come to the Lord. I want to cry to Him for salvation. And something whispers into my ears or heart, okay, you are a sinner, but don't worry, you are not that bad. You aren't that terrible. Look at some good parts about you. Don't be only negative. Look at some good things you can do, and that how wonderful person you are. Oh, you would rather be needed by the church. You would be such a person, if the Lord doesn't convert you, perhaps you may not say it in exact words, but it's almost like a feeling. If the Lord doesn't convert you, He will lose something. Can you believe? A certain young man told me this before. He didn't put in these words. This young man had been in our Sunday school back in Cape Coast for years. And we always say that, friends, this is one of the negative side effects of Sunday school work. It's not a side effect that should let us stop it. The Lord commands it, and it only reveals a human nature. This was one of the young persons who really was very, very smart in terms of answering Bible questions. Because we'll always be reading the places we ask them to read. When it comes to Sunday school, he listens so well. Ask any question. If anybody raises his hand, this young man will raise his hand. Strangely, this young man is not converted. And he was aware. He knew it. As was one time I was speaking with him, and I asked him, "So why have you not come to the Lord?" And he said this. He said that, "I don't understand why. Look, even that boy is converted. Even the other one, why has God not converted me?" Can you believe that? See? Strange perhaps. I don't know, perhaps because he's been doing well in Sunday school things. See, if God will convert anybody, to say, "I should go another because I do well." And the striking thing we have seen in Sunday school work is that recently, forgive me for this, all these are domestic issues. We have a young person with us at our church, and one of them, really a boy, really answers a number of questions. So after one of their quizzes, he came to me and was happy and said, "Oh, no, Pastor," say daddy, "well, I've gotten all these things because I answered the question." I said, "Okay, you've done well. But please let me warn you. One of the things we've realized is that a number of times, not always of course, a number of times, we have found those ones who are the ones who are quick to answer questions. They are the ones that are hardly converted. Sometimes we are surprised. Somebody who comes into the class hardly raises his hand. And then he's walking to the pastor and said, "Pastor, we're dealing with one young man like that right now in Kekos. He comes to Sunday school, he's now grown up, finished secondary school. He's sitting in Sunday school, quiet from beginning to end. When he's singing the hymn, you won't hear his voice. His high, his head is buried in the hymn. And he goes like this until the hymn is ended. He simply walks on. In fact, if you don't take notice of him, you won't even know that he came. Very quiet. And then very recently, he came to me and said, 'Pastor, I'm anxious about my sons. And I want to become a Christian.' You see, my dear friend, so it's not simply because you are spoken. You can really quote the Bible, answer questions. Well, friends, the trouble is the devil may deceive you. It doesn't have to happen, but you may yield to the deception of the devil. And fear the one because I know the Bible. Even when they ask questions, I can answer them and things like those. It's good. It should. And you need knowledge. If there's no knowledge, how can faith come? As you need the knowledge. But problem is you may only stop at the knowledge level. And that's all. And that'll be very disturbing, friends. And so, dear friends, make sure that you are not stopping at the knowledge level. You are applying to the Lord. And you are humbled by what you've learned. And it's making you see who you are. And bringing you to the Lord sincerely. And you are recognizing, "Lord, I am nothing. I cannot demand this from you. If you choose not to save me, you will be righteous and perfect because I am the sinner. I am the one who has committed the crimes. I chose to sin. You choose to save. I don't have any claim on you." This is humility, isn't it? And this is this man. "Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. It is within your will." And friends, I go on. If you come to the Lord in such a humble way, look at the Lord's answer in verse 13. "And he put forth his hand and touched him, saying, 'I will, be thou clean.' And immediately the leprosy departed from him." Because it says, "So be radiva." And Papa say right, it's a whooper. And it there ma be home and sunny. And yes, we'll be ready her. Whoop was a brassa jinwa. And yes, somebody want no an echo. What you want kai wa cremu say? Me cramming for tashi when young cupoy name. Me yen yes, I say. Media, say, Eradi, yemia, my sister, one yemi crown shot. Ninio may be uncupoye. Well, yes, in Yana Jin is the own hooning young cupon. Eradi best snobble. Na me ba se nia me nse mintimi nyashie mintimi enye shiwa nyankopon ho mintimi enmi sa ne se chinchina no e so di mami sense me na maye boni me na ma se me ho ehuma bro ni training chain na me ba se minim se oye huma bro fu nyankopon ti na me ba enye se odi me kabi enti woma mo ba wa sa akwe nsulo ewradi tie won tentem wa. If I come truly humbled, the Lord never turns away. You remember Psalm 51? A broken and a contrite heart, thou Lord, will not despise. If my heart is broken, meaning it has nothing to hold on to, no confidence, no pride, nothing in myself to admire or to look upon, God will never despise me. And so, my dear friends, this man comes this way. And you truly look at it there. The Savior quickly touches him. Is that not amazing? You will say, oh, dear Savior, you are touching a leper, you remember. What if he gets infected? Yourself. Oh, but no, he's the Lord of glory. He is able to deal with a leper without getting infection himself. Because it's above that. And so this is why we say, you only go to the Lord. You remember I said that? Don't be too concerned about friends, parents, or whatever. Be concerned about the Lord. Only He can deal with me. Only. That's when you are only concerned with the Lord chiefly, then you can be sincere. Only the Lord must approve of me. Only He. This is why you don't confess your sins to priests. Because when they absolve you, you would think then it means I'm okay. But we don't have the power to tell anybody he's okay unless God is working the heart of the person. So the forgiveness of sins is what the work of God. We only see the fruit of that, which I'll touch on very shortly. As you go straight to the Lord and tell him what you've done, putting your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, calling upon him, asking him to receive and have mercy upon you. Go entirely empty, having nothing to trust in yourself, nothing to hold on to, nothing to admire. You go as a beggar, pleading for mercy, and resting all your hopes upon the Lord himself. It gives you the language of what faith is like. Faith says, Lord, I'm resting it all on you. I do not deserve anything. I cannot demand it of you. I rest my all upon you. And so this other man came, and he was the first. Our time is rushing on, so let me touch on the last thing here in verse 14. The Lord tells him this, and he charged him to tell no man, but go and show thyself to the priest and offer for thy cleansing according as Moses commanded, as a testimony unto them. This is beautiful. The Lord Jesus Christ wants that healing to be investigated. I heard one charismatic healer saying, if you go to the hospital to get your claim healing investigated, it means you don't have faith. Actually, it's the opposite. When it's really happened, you don't fear investigation. You can call the whole world and say, come and investigate and see whether this is done or not. And so the Savior said, now go to the priest. He's the one who is designated to examine leprosy and declare it clean or unclean. I said, go to him, let me investigate it. I said, testimony to them. But the Messiah has come. The one has come who is curing the incurables. So they will jolt them because they've been told in Isaiah the prophet that one of the things that the Messiah would do would be these mighty works following him. They said, go to them, it will be a testimony to them. Go and tell them. But you see, the priest was the one also that was going to allow this leper to go back into the community. The leper is kept outside the city, in an isolated place. He should remain there all the days of his life. But when he thinks that the healing was he's healed of his disease, he must go to the priest. The priest will examine his skin, and if he says, well, you are clean, they say, okay, now you can go into the city. It is only at his permission that the man can go back into the community. Otherwise, he couldn't. And so it was so important the Savior sent him to the priest. So he examines it to see that it's happened and to send him back into the community. And also he will offer an offering. One of the offerings will be for sin. It's strange, isn't it? So the Lord was telling him, sin is the root of all sickness. It doesn't mean the sickness I'm particularly suffering right now is because I've committed sin. But the fact that there's sin in this world is the cause for why the sickness is here. We must be reminded of this. So there's an offering for sin. There's an offering to express gratitude to God. This is in Leviticus chapters 13 and 14, where the Lord gave these instructions. And so these are the purposes why this man must go. And so this is a lesson for us. People don't know that any faithful church, any church, Bible-believing church, They cannot allow you into their membership unless they have a testimony that the Savior dealt with you. You cannot be part of them. You will not fit. You'll be uncomfortable. Our ways will be hurtful to you. You wouldn't like it. You would think we are punishing you. Unless the Savior gives you a new heart and changes you. This is why, of course, there's an example in the New Testament elsewhere, but this is why we require a testimony. Give us an evidence that God has dealt with you. The Lord was saying, go to the priest and show him the evidence that you've been touched and blessed. This is why we require evidence. Evidence will be seen. How do we know it? Because God has given us a list of them in several places in the Bible. 1 John, Romans 8, John chapter 8, John chapter 5, Galatians 5, Acts chapter 2. These, they are all there. So we know those whom the Lord has dealt with. When the Lord deals with you, something will be seen. It's not an empty claim, please. This is the happy part of Christianity. Christianity is not an empty claim. We are not people who are just learning things in our heads and going around and thinking that, hey, this may be true, maybe. No, we have a testimony. The Lord has dealt with us. We know what it is to have our hearts moved because of sin and be shamed because of our sins. We know what it feels like to have our inward sins, hidden sins, not the public, or public ones, it's easy to stop them. But inward sins of pride and dependence on things, dependence on money, trust in myself, to have these things shaken and broken down until I feel my nothingness and I long for the Savior. We have a taste of this. We have a taste of what it is like to rest all our hopes upon Calvary, the Lord Jesus Christ, and come as sinners who say, I have nothing at all, save the Savior who died for needy sinners. We have seen him touch our hearts, give us a new conscience, so that we can sense that we've been brought into a new environment where we are ruled by the Bible. It's only what the Bible teaches that moves us. Only what the Bible says about the world that we believe. Not opinions. Not ideas from men. It doesn't matter who they are. It doesn't matter what status they occupy in the world. We are brought into that environment that our consciences respond only to the Bible. The Lord Jesus put it this way. He said, my sheep hear my voice. A stranger's voice they do not hear. You see that? John chapter 10. So these evidences are there. And we know what it is to pray real prayers. To go to the place of prayer in our homes and be really engaged with God. And pour our hearts to Him. And know answers from Him. And know His support and help. We know these things. And these things have effect on our lifestyle. So it can be seen. And we can tell plainly others that these things are ours. So we are not making saying things. There's a testimony we bear. There's a testimony we have. And so it is, my dear friends. And so this is what the Lord wants this man to do. Go and show them these things. Go and tell them. Go and show them that God has dealt with you. And then you'll be received into the community. When you have a testimony, you'll be received into God's community of God's people. You'll be made a member of the Lord's people. Where you'll be instructed still. There'll be so much still to learn. So much still to grow in. You'll be instructed, friends. Remember, this is how the Lord designed this church. Any Bible-believing church will help you to examine your own standing. They won't let you assume just to be so irresponsible. They won't let you assume because I go to church, because I'm a pastor now, because I'm this, I should be a Christian, I should be going to heaven. No, they should help you be able to examine yourself and your condition also. Before the Lord, my dear friends. And so this is the reason why the Savior will send this man there, so he will be a witness to everyone who is coming there, so that this man will be a grateful person. He will offer an offering of gratitude. Oh Lord, I thank you for so healing me. And we'll be grateful people too. Gratitude is a powerful thing in the hearts of Christians. Gratitude to God. That's what makes their sins feel so painful. Can I do such a thing against such a God to whom I owe so much? Friends, gratitude. My dear friends, you see how you approach God? And God will answer if you approach Him aright and bless you. And He will give you proofs that He saved you. you would have to assume. You'd have to nearly say it on your lips and make claims and say all kinds of things. You will know by clear, unmistakable testimonies. Yes, some people may struggle through it, but as you speak to them, they show that they truly are trusting in the Savior. Oh, dear friends, come to Him. Come, ask Him to have mercy upon you. Trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Trust Him sincerely. Trust Him. Trust Him in nothing else, but only what He did for sinners, and He will bless you. Come properly, my dear friends. Come. Oh, friends, come with strong desire. Come with humility. Come remembering who He is. Come throwing yourself upon His merciful hand as somebody who recognizes you can't demand anything and you deserve nothing. Only mercy at His hand. Brewadi Hosenia. Woba. Aiwe winibre dia pa. Na woba senia. Winim se. Onu winim se diote. Aye radio betimi ishrau. Na wapro. Come in reverence, because He's dealing with Almighty God. Come, and He'll hear you. If you resign yourself upon His mercy, and He will save you and give you proofs that He saved you. About you. Now, why yet more with criminal beings? Why, Jew? Who more with you? No one sees you, Clara. You're at the show, one, Cassa.